Extend a Christian greeting in the name of Jesus to each one as we're assembled in the house of God. Give greetings from the Pleasant View Church in Hartville, Ohio as well. We stand on the threshold of another new year, oncoming year. It's always something about parting that is difficult. When we leave one phase of life and enter into another one. There's so many things in life that become that way. It seems it's always difficult to say farewell. The term goodbye is often used, and we know it's kind of a way that we have of saying, but sometimes I think farewell sounds better. So that's where we're at today, standing on the threshold of an oncoming year, not knowing what the future holds. Many changes can be made and probably will be made in the oncoming year. But then again, that's not the greatest concern. Probably the greatest concern is how we live and how we act. You may turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. We'd like to read a few verses from there. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11. Prior to that, it speaks of Christ, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that believe on him and obey him. Then it says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by whom by reason of use have exercised or their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says in verse 1 of chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. And then, of course, we understand the scriptures as it goes further. So what I'd like to look at here is, as we approach the oncoming year, and that is, let us go on into perfection. I don't know what else to say hardly, but let us go on into maturity of the Christian life. The importance of let us go on into perfection and spiritual growth. And I believe that's what he is saying here. And that is that the spiritual life in moving on and growing spiritually. Let us go on into perfection. And that's the opposite of that is style, fashion, and a life which society lives today. That's the opposite of growing spiritually. The Bible tells us like this, that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal minded is death. So when we talk about moving on, let us go on into perfection. It means to grow closer to God, to become more spiritual minded, and the things of this world become dimmer and the heavenly things become brighter. So as we look at that, we like to look at the word discernment as well, which it gives us here in verse 14. And if we look at the word discernment, which is such a vital part of our life in our world today, being able to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, light and darkness. We come to three principles and three words here, and that is, it is purpose, conviction, and commitment in a world of confusion and brokenness. As we look at, let us move on, let us grow, let us go on into perfection. And moving forward, in order to do that, there are three things, and those three things which I mentioned. And that is purpose, conviction, and commitment. As we move on into another year, cross the threshold into another year, may that be our goal. May we have a purpose in life. May we stand on the promises of God as we move forward and cross the threshold. Many are crossing the threshold and through the gateway from this life into eternity. Why should we not be moved and concerned? There's something about, as I mentioned, about saying farewell. That isn't always easy. It means parting, is what it really means. It means parting. But again, we can see and we can examine our own lives, where we are, where we've been in the past year, and we can set goals for the oncoming year. Yes, we can. That's what purpose really means. Purpose, conviction, and commitment. And I like what Nathan shared in the devotional there. When we think of Nebuchadnezzar, we think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there, and we think of Daniel as he read there. Beloved, those were men that stood on the promises of God. They were men with purpose, conviction, and commitment. Because the three Hebrew children said that we will not serve your God. When Nebuchadnezzar set up his big idol and wanted people to fall down and to worship it, the three Hebrew children had something in mind. What Nebuchadnezzar ran up against was that he found men that had conviction and they had purpose in life. And they stood for what they confessed. Oh, yes, they did. They stood for what they confessed. They were not ashamed of it. They said, the God whom we serve, this idol God that he made, but those three Hebrew children said, the God whom we serve. And if he doesn't keep us and protect us, we will still not serve your God. They knew where they stood, and they knew why they stood where they stood. As we cross the threshold into an oncoming year, may we be of godly people, and may we stand on the promises of God, knowing why we stand, where we stand. I believe we have too many church going people that today that aren't sure where they really stand. And that's why we need a purpose, we need conviction, and we need commitment in our lives. Yes, I believe we do. The Bible tells us like this, that we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And I do have, some time ago, I'm not sure, back some time, I preached a message on that, earnestly contending for the faith. And that earnestly means to fight for what you are standing on and to hold on what you have, which leads to the fight, the good fight of faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. So to earnestly contend is a strong purpose that we need and got to have, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It truly is. So Jude tells us that we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now we have here, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now I think it's Peter that speaks on that wise as well, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. So he says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, you know, exercise is very important. And that word exercise fits a lot of situations. That means of doing things constantly, constantly. If you don't exercise in yourself in certain things, you're not able to do it. Or you don't know how to do it if you don't exercise yourself. I'm one of those that doesn't have a computer, not at this time. I don't know if I ever will or not. I'm not sure what I'd do with it. I guess I haven't really seen a great need for myself. But if I'd set in the front of one, I'm not sure what to do because I never exercise myself in it. Though that's a lot of things in life. Carpenter, mason work, be what it may. When you don't exercise yourself, you're kind of dumbfounded. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go and how to handle it. But here he says, you know, for the godly people, for the Christian, he says, meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those that by reason have used their senses. You know, in our world today, it seems that common sense is no longer common. It seems there's lack of common sense in our world today, of being just simply using some common sense. It seems there's a lot of modern technology, but when it comes to common sense, I'm not sure sometimes. And here it says, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that sifts it down, it's very understandable. Being able to discern between what is right, what is truth, and what is error. And it's very important that we know where we stand so we are able to discern between truth and error. Because there's so much false out there today, false doctrine and things like that. The The Bible tells us that we ought to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Well, I'm not sure just how all you define that. For one thing, it's a perfect will. It's a will of the mind. It'll say that for one thing, a perfect will in this flesh and blood. We have our weaknesses and we're susceptible to making mistakes and things like that. That's very true. But not deliberately. He says here that speaks of dull of hearing. Seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. We know what that is. I've got one ear that's kind of dull. It doesn't pick up what the other one does. But this is spiritually dull of hearing. Dull. You know these little flappers that we've got here on the side? Those are the catch the sound. If you want to pick it up a little more, you go like this. Then you get a little more. So here he speaks of dull of hearing, but that was really not the dull of hearing is really not the problem for so many of us people. It's not that you're really dull of hearing, no. I made a little quote here, but it's a spiritual condition not wanting to hear serious spiritual problem. So you see, dull of hearing, what he was saying there is the very fact that, you know, they hear, but they don't hear. They hear, but they don't hear. Didn't Jesus use that term often? He would say, you know, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That means if you've got ears, listen. It means to listen and to observe and to learn and so on. Proverbs 28 says, he that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be, it's an abomination. If he doesn't hear what is being said, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So, as we think of crossing the threshold, let us go on into perfection. It means spiritual growing and drawing closer to God. Going on to perfection is not drawing from the society of the world in style, fashion, and ways of life, in speech, and so on. But it means becoming more like God. It means becoming more like God. That's what it means, to grow. It's normal for children to grow. When they don't, there is something wrong. When we don't grow spiritually, there must be something wrong. There's a lack of something. When we have a sound mind and are able to learn and don't, there must be something wrong. Yes, there must be something wrong. It speaks of full age. Being of full age. Them that are of full age, it speaks of. So really, what is full age? Is full age at 40, when you turn 40? No, I don't think it's talking about that. But that full age has to do with being skillful in the word. Skillful in the word. Yes, that's what it's got to do with. It's got to do with exercising your Christian life, your spirituality. It's got to do with exercising that. Skill in the word. You know, when we exercise ourselves in something, we become skillful. If you exercise it, is it your carpenter work, mason work, concrete, whatever it is? And as the baptism applicants this morning, you know, It's you grow spiritually. You grow. You become more like Christ, more and more like Him. I believe the poet and the songwriter had mentioned. So let us not be afraid. You know, let us not be satisfied just to sit still. You know. You've got ponds around here. Some of these southern states have more ponds than maybe the northern do as far as depending on water for cattle. But you know, if it doesn't rain long enough, they become stagnant. Stagnant. They're not fit to drink hardly anymore. It doesn't even smell good. Doesn't look good. And that's the way the Christian life comes. When we don't exercise and become skillful in the Word of God, we become a stagnant Christian. We kind of smell. And we have too many people in our world today, the Amish brethren and so on, Father, we have too many people that are satisfied. That are just satisfied in the very state of in their culture of way of doing. And I'll leave, that's all right. But brethren, we must still enter in through the gate where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other door to enter. He's the door to the sheepfold. There is no other door. If you're going to try to crawl in, you're not going to make it. He says you're a thief and a murderer. You're not going to make it. He says you got to go through this door. Yes, the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said. Failure to mature in the Word and in fruit bearing is spiritually life-threatening position. Oh, you mean it's life-threatening? It really is. It's life-threatening. When you don't exercise spiritually, that's life-threatening. That's life-threatening. What it amounts to, if a child never gets further than the fifth grade, he's still in elementary school. I don't care if he's 16. He's in an elementary state. That's where he's at. How many of us, including myself, too often are in an elementary state? We're not too skillful in the Word. We're not too skillful. We're still in elementary school. He doesn't really want that. You want children to be able to move on to the next grade and move on to the next grade. If not, there's something's wrong. And of course, we know some children are it's harder for them to learn than for some others as well. But you know what makes a difference? There's still a willing mind. If there's a willingness there, that makes all the difference. Yes, it does. So, it's a slow process when it becomes stagnant. It's a threatening area of falling away, of backsliding, step by step, of backsliding. That's how we backslide, when we don't exercise something. And then as that progresses, then on, and if it goes on and on and on, then repentance is out of reach. Finally, repentance is out of reach almost. Almost out of reach. It progresses backwards. It's a carnal state. It becomes a carnal state. And let's always remember what Jeremiah said like this. Jeremiah said, "Cursed is the man that maketh flesh his arm. Verflucht ist der Mensch, wo sich auf Menschen verlässt und Fleisch nimmt für sein Arm." So you see, if we're going to depend on someone else, just depend on someone else and watching his life, it could mislead us as well as strengthen us. Yes? Tell me your company, the type of company you hang around with, and it's not hard to tell you who you are. What you choose is what you are. Very aptly. So, the arm of flesh will fail you. The arm of flesh will fail you. We need to look into the Word of God to allow the Word to speak to us. Now, I know we have various, you know, churches have various, their standards vary, some of this and that. Not a problem as far as that goes. But still, who is leading us? Or what voice are we going to listen to in 2016? What voice are you going to hear and listen to in 2016? We're just at the threshold of the crossing. It's not far away. So, growth in the Word of God comes through experience, comes through exercising ourselves, applying its principles in life, applying to principles in life. Comes by deliberately applying and living the Word of God. And living the Word of God. That is so important, to live the Word of God. There's two kinds of people. Those who profess and those who possess are possessed by the Word of God. You know, though just, I know, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's true. We believe that. That is an actual true verse. If you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Sad to say, we have people today that question. People that grew up with our background that come to the point they question even the birth of Christ. They struggle with that. And why? Beloved, if we don't believe in the birth of Christ, conception through the Holy Spirit, we're done. It's over. We're lost. There's no hope. Absolutely no hope. Sad to say, there's some people that come to that point. We know the Pharisees they made fun, talked of an illegitimate birth. But beloved, where are we standing? Where do we stand in our... Are we satisfied with where we're at? That's good enough. That's good enough for 2016 too. Or are we going to school? Are we willing to learn and be more conformed? You know, the Bible says in the beginning, you were made in the image of God. Do you believe that? Man was made in the image of God, male and female. He sure he was. Isaiah says, I believe it's him that says that man was created for his glory. You and I were made for God's glory. That's why you're here. You know, we can't do anything with our first birth. We had no choice there. But we have a choice with the second birth. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's a choice then that we must make. Yes, that's up to us. We must choose, and that's what the Lord wants. He that is athirst, let him come to me and drink, he says. He that's thirsty. Are we thirsty? So, as we go on here, the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. Our Christian growing maturity, it's got to do with our exercising our senses. And when we exercise our senses, then you're able to discern. Oh, and that's important. The spirit of discernment. And I've said like this already. I can talk all I want to talk about other churches and how they look, how they do this, that. No more covering, cut hair, slacks, conform to society of the world today. But let me tell you, that's not going to get me anywhere. What I'm concerned is how they got there. How did they arrive there? They didn't start out that way. Neither did Judas. I don't think Judas did. But he kept growing, he kept becoming, he kept dwelling on this money thing until he became covetousness and it controlled his life. So what bothers me is how do people arrive at that point? Wasn't always quick, but step by step by step, a little at a time, man comes to where he kind of loses everything, he's not even a believer. Starts to question the Word of God. The Word that is settled forever in heaven, David said. It's settled, it's there, it's not to be changed. Oh yes, why is it important to know why we stand where we stand? Because the devil is real. So, we had the verse. The youth had the verse in the class this morning, baptism class. I was part of this verse, I think. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, as the scripture says. We notice it says, as the scripture says. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? We all know what our middles are, our stomachs. But it says, out of there shall flow rivers of living water. Beloved, I believe it means that there's a well drilled right at within you. There's a well springing up unto life everlasting, like you see out in the ponds and lakes sometimes. Water shooting up. Spraying out. Within you will become a well of living water. Yes, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. Talking about stagnant speaks of fruit that is dried up. Doesn't look too healthy, not fit to eat, doesn't look good. How many dried up Christians are there today that are just simply stagnant and dried up? And we don't want to move on into another year like that. There's only about 6 or 7 days left, maybe a little more than that, not quite sure. Well, nevertheless. When a spring feeds a pond or a lake, always has fresh and renewed water. When we're fed by the Word of God, we meditate upon the Word of God, and there again, meditation speaks of a cow that's bringing up its cud, laying there, two or three stomachs, and it's bringing it up, and it chews it over. Meditation. We bring it up, we meditate on it again, we meditate again. Yes. Let's not become insensitive to wrong and right. You know, somehow this world's going to come to an end. Somehow this world is going to come to an end. And Paul reminded the Thessalonians that they're going to fall away. People are going to fall away. He says that's the way it's going to come down and drift and dwindle down. Like the days of Noah, like the days of Sodom. People become insensitive to right and wrong. That is dangerous ground. When you lose that part of your life, being sensitive to right and wrong. That's quite important to stay on the right track and not to veer off to the side. Yes, that's what keeps us on track. It's necessary for a Christian to acquire spiritual discernment to know what is truth and what is error. Oh? Yeah. That's right. That's true. Necessary for a Christian to acquire spiritual discernment. That's what concerns me. Are we a person that builds? Or do we just go along for the ride? Somebody's got to carry us. Somebody's got to fill in for us. Bible doesn't really teach that. He wants you to be a well of living water. He wants you to be an artesian well, something that flows over and flows out. Sure he does. Let's not be ashamed of it. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes and lives it. Yes, he said he's not ashamed of the power of Christ. Not ashamed of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. And I believe my Bible's falling apart here. It's about time to have it fixed or something. Kind of lost my train of thought there. But anyhow, it is ever so important that we stay on our toes in our Christian walk of life. That is ever so important. And not become stagnant Christians. Christians that are stagnant, that are dull of hearing, that are slothful, lazy. Briars instead of fruit. So, he says, Isaiah said, incline your ear. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear. And your soul shall what? Die? No. Live. And your soul shall live. Well, to God be the glory. What I wanted to share, I guess, was one of my old famous quotes is, I believe the old-time gospel preaching is still going to save the soul. Lately, I had a brother tell me like this. He said he looked at the bulletin, the church bulletin. He looked at another church bulletin. He said he never heard of such topics. He never heard of a man trying to preach some of the things that were on there. He never heard it. Reminds me of a story where a man was, he listened to the guys preaching, well, they got this preaching and listened to him how was it, if I can put it together, some of his preaching. Finally, till the man was done preaching, he believed in God, he believed in the devil and something else. He said, since you were here now, he says, I'm going to miss you because I believe in all three now. Such a confusion. That's why I believe when the Brunk brothers way back, not sure if they were ever in this area or not, preached the old-time gospel preaching, souls were still saved. And I believe that to this very day. It doesn't take a dictionary along to look up some fancy words. We don't need the huge, big, fancy words. We just need old-time gospel preaching. That converts and convicts the soul to our day. It's time to close. Let's kneel and pray.